You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, welcome back to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, presented by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh, and SteelCityBlitz.com. My name is Matt. His name is Mark. What is going on, punk?
Oh, man, we're just a few weeks away from training camp. As much as I love my summers, I really do enjoy the fall with Steelers football and everything else, and we're kind of getting our feet wet. That's kind of the motto of this edition. We're getting back into it. And, you know, we've both been kind of busy in the spring and the summer, and now there's stuff to talk about. So, man, I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing all right. It has been hot as hell here in Central PA this summer. Muggy as all get out, which is typical, but it's just been like last summer wasn't too awful hot. It hung around the 80s most of the time. It's been above 90. I don't know how many friggin' times lately. And I was out for a walk tonight and about died walking around the neighborhood. So. Yeah, yep, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good here.
Good,
getting ready for football.
Sweat through your shirt weather, no doubt about
it. That's exactly right. Yep, so let's jump right into some of the Steelers news we got here, some updates, some articles you guys are writing, your experience on training camp and whatnot. So let's start out with Tom Brady. No, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't. I couldn't resist, man.
Well, I think we should.
So the word is that he is considering taking this to the Supreme Court. That's his only alternative right now. I believe at this point, I was listening to Sirius on the way home from work today because I work during the summer and you don't. Well, actually, I work and you don't. But they had a law professor on there. I believe was it from New York? Oh my God, I can't remember what college he was from, but or university. Yeah. But anyway, he broke down the whole situation of all like the backhanded mishandling, lying, cheating, snarking back and forth between the players' union, the NFL, and Tom Brady. And I mean, this whole Deflategate has been a total cluster from the get-go, and nobody is honest, man. I mean, nobody.
No, I think my gut feeling tells me that if he would have never destroyed the phone, then I think some of this, maybe all of it, would have gone away. But the fact that he did that, it made him look so guilty. And you know, plus you did have the fact that the two ball boys that were involved with this, they had all the text messages. And, you know, it didn't really take a rocket scientist to figure out what they were talking about with regards to the inflation, deflation of the balls. But be that as it may, both sides have handled this extremely poorly. And so the second circuit court of U.S. District or U.S. Appeals courts basically said today, we are not hearing it. That's it. The only way that it goes any further is if Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the one who's been in the news this week because she ripped on Donald Trump, she is the justice of the second district there in New York, and she would have to take it to her fellow justices and say, is this a case we want to hear? They would need to vote on that and then decide it. And most legal minds do not think it's going to happen. Although, as I wrote today in my little article for SteelCityBlitz.com, shameless plug, that it wouldn't shock me if it did happen, because that's kind of where we're at with this crap. It just seems like it won't die. And at any point, as of right now, Tom Brady is not going to play the first four games of the season, which, boy, wouldn't that have been nice last year when we opened at New England?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're right. And I mean, and honestly, I mean, I think how much more money and like wasted money. I mean, now God knows Tom Brady has money to burn. Yeah. But I mean, how much time and money do you want to waste on this? And how much more bad press? I mean, it's four games. It's at the beginning of the season. You have plenty of time to recover if you go anything worse than 2-2. I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, just, you've stated your case a billion times. You're not going to make yourself look any better.
Yeah.
Just shut up and deal with it. I mean, honest to God, dude, like, I'm so sick of it. It's not even funny. And there's nothing like this whole thing has been handled in such an unsportsmanlike, unprofessional, dishonest, backhanded way by everybody. It's just ridiculous. And I mean, the NFL is as much to blame as the players union, as much to blame as Brady and the ball boys and all that other crap.
Yeah,
it really
is.
Yeah,
and don't forget, it's not like Brady and Giselle are paying for this. The NFLPA, I believe, is picking up the tab for all the legal fees here. So I'm sure he could afford a new phone. And
you think?
Yeah, and they're fine there. And, yeah, you know, it's really interesting, you know, how this could have played out for us last year going to New England in the opener. And of course, it was a competitive game. I mean, we lost by 7. I think we scored in the final play to get it to that margin. But boy, who knows? That one extra win, you know, it vaults us to the division title perhaps. And yeah, well, hindsight's 20/20. But I hope this is the end, Matt, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, and, you know, it's Tom Brady and the Patriots, so you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. And I'm tired of talking about them, so let's move on to something better.
Beautiful.
Le'Veon Bell, contract, wrapping, once $15 million. Now he's backing off. I'm never going to leave the Steelers, he tweets. Yeah. Like, what's the deal?
Well, okay. I think it was Ben Anderson who contributes for us at Steel City Blitz. He made a good point. He said, don't forget this is a rap song. And rappers tend to embellish a little bit in their songs. And I laughed. I mean, you know, you and I, we go back to the early days of rap when embellishment was the extreme. Or it was the norm, I guess.
Yeah, because we're rappers.
Yeah, that's yeah. And so I laughed and I said, you know, yeah. The problem with what Bell said was like the way that he said it, you know, and they're going to pay me 15 and they know this kind of a thing. And Adrian Peterson is regarded as the best running back in football. Now, I'll be honest. I think Bell is a more versatile running back. But Peterson makes $14 million a year. And I just don't see Le'Veon Bell anywhere near that, as you and I were talking before the show, simply because of the fact he can't stay healthy. So everything I've seen and everything I've read and everything that the mathematicians tell me I think they're going to offer him right around $9 million, and that's going to be pretty firm. I don't see a lot of room for negotiation there. So if they come back and say, hey, how about 10 or how about 11, I don't think the Steelers are going to jump on that real quick. So I admire the fact that he thinks he's that great and wants that kind of money, but it's just not going to happen.
Now, and I mean, the Steelers are always a team that are fairly close to up against the cap anyways. And you're right. I mean, if Bell was healthy all the time and he was playing 16 games in a season plus the playoffs, maybe you can make a case for 10, 12 million a year. But even then, I mean, Pittsburgh just doesn't pay their players that much. I mean, Bell is one of the core offensive weapons. I get it. Yep. But he does have problems staying healthy. You know, he's had the substance abuse issues a little bit. So, I mean, his track record is not exactly spotless here. And I would imagine that if the Steelers offer him 8 or 9, I would think, I mean, obviously you and I think he should take it because that was just a no-brainer. But, I mean, if he presses the issue, I don't think the Steelers would be all that against, you know, letting him hold out. I mean, you know, they do have a decent reserve still. Obviously, you want Bell on the field, but, you know, the Steelers are not a team that you can play hardball with very often and win.
No, and you know, he's going into the final year, and I don't see him holding out. I think he's got too much left to prove. I think what could ultimately happen is if he and his agent really believe that he's worth, let's say it's not 15, let's say it's 12, if they really believe that he's worth that and he has a good year and he stays healthy, some team will pay him that. I don't have any doubt in my mind that there's a low-level or mid-level NFL team that desperately needs his services. They will pay him that much. The Steelers are not going to, though. Not when you've got Ben at what he is. You've got to pay Antonio Brown. He has done everything you can possibly imagine and more. You've got to pay him. You know, David DeCastro, I know they're working on his deal right now. So there's some other deals that are coming, and you know, I think it's just going to be one of those games of chicken here as far as who's going to swerve first. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think the Steelers are going to swerve. I think they're going to go straight, and they're going to let him do the swerving, and that's about it.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, this, you know, the Steelers are no stranger to guys who want to try and play hardball. And this is all right now just kind of posturing to see who's willing to get, you know, who's willing to blink a little bit. We all know that the Steelers will tend to re-up your contract, you know, like the training camp before your deal is up, especially like if you're a quarterback or a high-end player. And I mean, we may very well see something get done during training camp. It's not, you know, uncommon for a player to be shown sitting in his dorm room at St. Vincent College signing a deal on their bed. So,
Good point.
I mean, stranger things have happened, but you're right. I mean, I think maybe the whole rap thing was kind of fun. And then afterwards you realize, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And then he tried to recant it a little bit. And, you know, I think most people with common sense know this is just him maybe kind of having a bonehead moment. But the fact is that the Steelers are not going to be bullied no matter whether you're rapping about it or barking about it.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. I mean, I think we both agree. We love the guy as far as his talent and the things that he can do on the football field. But there just has to be a dose of reality here. And I just don't see that amount of money. So, you know, this will be fun to watch. I know that.
Yep, so training camp on the rise here coming up within the next few weeks. There should be some pretty interesting battles here coming up this year, as there always is. But what are some of the highlights that you are looking at?
Well, I did the quarterbacks today. We launched our Steel City Blitz training camp battle reports today. And to be real honest with you, Matt, I think this roster is pretty much set. I think you can really only narrow it down to maybe seven or eight positions that it's going to be a matter of depth. But for the most part, it's as set as I've seen. So I look today at, of course, Landry Jones, who Mike Tomlin said is the number two quarterback going into training camp based on OTAs. And he'll compete with the veteran Bruce Gradkowski. You know, Jones started two games last year, played in seven. You know, you and I were never big fans of his drafting for a multitude of reasons. If he's the type of guy that can take his drop, set, throw, he's a really good quarterback. Problem is that doesn't happen very often. And when he has to go through his progressions, he struggles. And Gradkowski has been unhealthy. I couldn't believe it when I was looking at the stats. I mean, it's one of those things you know, but when you see it, you just kind of get surprised. But he hasn't thrown an NFL pass since he played for Cincinnati in 2012.
Dude, that's incredible. I mean, he's been with us, and you think, wow, that's just...
I know. That's what caught me off guard, because I'm thinking, well, now, wait a minute. He's had to have played. Well, he did play a little bit, but he never had to throw a pass. So, you know, and we're just used to when he does play, well, it's preseason. So I really believe this is Landry Jones' job. As long as he stays healthy, it's going to be his. They like the fact that he knows the offense very well. And I think Gradkowski probably fits the Charlie Batch role of that veteran advisor on the sideline who Ben can come over and talk things over with. They seem to have a good relationship. So I think that's what's going to happen there. I think as far as other spots, obviously left tackle is going to be a really intriguing thing. A lot of people thought the Steelers were happy with Alejandro Villanueva long term after he replaced Kelvin Beachum, who's now in Jacksonville. But then they went out and signed Ryan Harris, who started all season for the Super Bowl champion Broncos. He filled in for Ryan Clady, who went out for the season, and he did obviously a pretty darn good job if they won the Super Bowl. So that's going to be an interesting battle there. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the secondary. You know, can the rookie Sean Davis, you know, make a move to start back there at safety? That's very odd, very rare, but stranger things have happened. And certainly receiver. I think the receiver situation.
That's a huge one for me, especially after you get through one and two. I mean, it's a whole lot of question marks.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, here's Brown, and we're going to assume Wheaton, and then after that, it reminds me of the bingo ball at the church banquet. You know, you just kind of roll the ball and you pull out one of the numbers and you say, okay, it's your chance. I mean, is it going to be Coates? Is it going to be Hayward Bay? Then once you settle that out, then who becomes that fifth receiver? Because they drafted the kid out of Houston, who's a kick returner, but they really like Eli Rogers from Louisville, who was really good last year before he got hurt in camp. This kid out of Virginia that went undrafted, his name is Kanan Severin. He's about 6'2". He's just a big guy, and he went relatively unnoticed because he played for a crappy team at Virginia. You know, he's somebody they like too. So I don't know what that final five or six receivers is going to look like, but there's going to be a pretty decent player that probably goes on the practice squad.
Probably so. And I mean, if you know the Steelers from the past, and if they follow suit, you'd have to think that Darius Hayward Bay would probably be number three, at least, yeah, to start. And then you see whether Coates or the rest of the young guys maybe kind of take over as the season goes on. That's kind of typical of how they run things. But, you know, I mean, because, I mean, you know, when Hayward Bay played last year, I mean, the guy made a whole lot of plays, you know, and I mean, obviously he's fast as hell. So, you know, they love the speed and the quickness. So, I mean, I would think probably early on he would be your number three, I would imagine, to start out.
I would think so. I think a lot of us have fresh in our minds that catch and run that Coates had against Denver in the playoffs. And it was like, holy crap, where's that been all year, you know?
Right. On the bench.
But I think you're right. Everybody knew Hayward Bay had the speed. His problem had always been his hands, and for the most part, his hands have not failed him in Pittsburgh. He's done a very good job catching the ball, and I think the other thing, as far as a roster spot for him, he's a very good special teamer, and you know how Mike Tomlin loves his veterans. So, I would agree with you. I think right now Hayward Bay probably is that three guy. But, you know, Todd Haley moves those guys around so often, I think you're going to see Hayward flexed out at the two, and you'll see Wheaton in the slot, and you'll see Coates in there. So it's just going to boil down to who that fifth guy is.
So fan favorite sushi, Sean Sweesum, the kicker, who just had that devastating injury and obviously couldn't recover, was released. And yeah, I mean, from what I saw, there wasn't really any ill feelings, coming out of his camp that I saw, at least. But this guy who was known for being not the greatest clutch kicker in the NFL when he came to Pittsburgh, sure, hit a whole lot and he seemed to kind of find his stride in Pittsburgh, and then he just got hurt.
Which was really odd, because it was widely known as the toughest place to kick in all of the NFL. And that was my concern with him coming in, was, geez, he's been kind of shaky, and now he's going to kick at Heinz Field. And he was great. I think he was about 88% for his career in Pittsburgh. It's funny. I mean, you and I started doing the Rabble broadcast last year, where we broadcast the games live. And the very first one I did was that Hall of Fame game where he got hurt. And, you know, you just sat there wondering, why is he even going in to make a tackle? It's the preseason, man.
Right.
You know? And then, of course, that just led to the Scobie problems, the Hartley problems. But it looks like we found our guy in Chris Boswell. And as you said, no ill feelings. I think Sean Sweesum has been around the block in this league long enough. He knows it's a business. And furthermore, he'd had some setbacks with the knee. It has not progressed very well. It may be something that he is out at least half of this year, and maybe could be a late season signing for somebody else. But right now, I don't see him picking up with anybody anytime soon.
Wouldn't it be interesting if, God forbid, something happens to Boswell and Sushi's out there just hanging out, ready to come back? I mean, stranger things have happened, you know, with old Max Starks back in the day coming in. So I'm telling you, like, you never know, because the Steelers seem to get injury prone at the wrong time. And I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I mean, he may sign with somebody, but if he's not, he would sure be a nice guy to bring in should God forbid something happen to Boswell.
Well, you are not wrong. Stranger things have happened. And, you know, the good news is that Jeff Reed is still around. He's working at a car dealership there in the Pittsburgh area, I believe. So if Quadzilla is available, we might be okay. But, yeah, you know, sorry to see Sushi's career, you know, or at least Steelers' career come down to that. But that's the business of football, Matt. It just is.
Yeah, so you had an opportunity over, was it Father's Day weekend, right?
Yes.
To go down to... and talk to one Steelers quarterback.
Oh, man, let me tell you. this was a weird thing, you know, and in my long-winded way, I was contacted by this company called Pro Camps, and I had never really heard of them, to be very, very honest. And they said, hey, you know, Ben is having his annual youth football camp, Bethel Park, which is just south of Pittsburgh. Are you interested in being part of the media? And so I looked at it and I'm like, well, geez, you know, okay, get a chance to interview him. I'm going to drive 6 hours for a 4-minute interview and then drive 6 hours back. You know, I probably really should think of a hotel. I'm not young anymore. I can't drive all night. And so I was talking to my wife and the kids just kind of in passing, and they looked at me like, you're not going to do it? And I'm like, huh? And they're like, you got to go do this. They're like, when are you ever going to have a chance to interview him again, regardless of whether it's at his camp or whatnot? You got to go do this. So I got a hotel and I reserved it, and I took off early in the morning on Father's Day and got into Bethel. And it, oh, man, it was another one of those scorchers, a day a little bit like today, just a lot sunnier and thankfully much less humid. But I got there, and the Pro Camps people were fantastic. They're like, oh, hey, here, yep, we got your name right here. Sign this. They gave me my little media badge. And they're like, yep, see that girl right down there on the track? Go down on the field, talk to her. And her name was Leslie. She was fantastic. I mean, so busy running around. She's coordinating all this kind of stuff while the camp is going on the field. And of course, now, you know, I'm about 10 years older than Ben is. But I'm not going to lie, you still get a little giddy when you see your quarterback standing over there, you know, and he's talking right? to the kids and he's talking to some of the coaches and stuff at this camp. And I'm just I almost giggled to myself. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So after about an hour and 20 minutes, there was an announcement over the loudspeaker and they said, OK, all the media people need to assemble. Ben will come over and do a short media question and answer. So I walk over there and there's nobody there, and there's like this woman and then another guy, and they both have like these little notepads out, and all I got's my phone in my hand. Now I had a bunch of questions in my pocket, but I at this time I have my phone in my hand, and I turn around and here's Ben walking right towards me, and he looks at me and he says, do you want to record this? And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, you don't mind if I, you know, video record it? And he goes, oh, no. He's like, go ahead. I don't care. So we start, and then he kind of stops, and he goes, you know, I should probably stand in front of this banner here. They have this, you know, these banners that the guys stand or do interviews in front of that's got all the logos and the trademarks of the sponsors and all that. And I said, you probably should. I'm sure Sonny Delight would be thrilled if you did that, you know. So we kind of laughed, it was kind of really weird. It was three people interviewing this future Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, and I'm
That's
like,
so awesome,
yeah. Man. And I'm like, this isn't real. I'm like, come on. I'm like, where's Candid Camera or something? or that John Quinones show, What Would You Do or something. So I did, I asked him a couple of questions. I recorded the whole thing. The other two people, I recorded them asking the questions, and I ended up, I wrote the article later that night and posted the interview. It's on the website. It's on our YouTube site as well. Ben could not have been more polite and respectful. He shook each of our hands when we were done and said, thanks for coming out. And I was just really impressed by the whole thing. I mean, you know, there were over 400 kids at this camp. He pays for, out of his own pocket, about 100, 110. He pays for their tuition to go to the camp. These are kids that otherwise would never, their parents would never be able to afford it, which is really cool. And he even brought the fathers down because it was Father's Day. to do this, what they call the smokehouse, which is basically a running competition. And of course, the fathers with the pulled hamstrings, it was hilarious. but the other cool thing, Ben got to midfield and there were four lines of kids. He threw a pass to all 400 plus of those kids.
Really?
And Leslie, the girl from Pro Camps, was standing there with me watching this, and we're talking about it, and she said, you know, he's the only one in all of our camps, football, basketball, any of this, he's the only one that does this. And I said, really? I mean, you don't have, like, the basketball guys don't do something? And she's like, none of them. She, like, he wanted to do this. This was his thing. And so I'm watching these kids, and as you can imagine, Matt, catching a pass from Ben Roethlisberger, the one thing you don't want to do is drop the damn thing. And a couple of these poor kids, you know, they're just running their little hearts out down the field. And the older the kids were, the deeper he would throw it. And some of these kids, it would hit them right in the hands and they'd drop it. And you can, I mean, their whole summer was ruined at that point. You know, it was just like, oh, I dropped it. And, right. But, you know, but I'm just, of course, the fan in me, I'm sitting there going, do I really want my quarterback throwing 400 passes in a span of about 25 minutes? You know, but I hung out and I watched the camp. I was there for a couple of hours and just great people around there. I think 93.7 The Fan was kind of running the DJ booth and they just had a really nice setup. But yeah, it's one of those things. I got home the next day. That night I went into Pittsburgh and walked around and did the usual stuff and beautiful night for it. And yeah, it was great. I'm glad I did it. And I couldn't have been more pleased with Ben. I mean, he could have very easily said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. There's three people here. Why am I doing this? But he was very gracious and it was great watching him interact, not just with the kids at the camp, but also his own kids. His new child was just born a few weeks prior. His wife Ashley was there with all three of them. Little Ben Jr., man, oh my God, he's a terror. And he's already throwing the football probably farther than you or I could throw it. And I think he's three. it was a great experience.
That is way cool. And also big thanks to Ben's Twitter, I guess, and a Facebook page too, were kind of helping us out.
Yeah, they had told me that once they knew I was there, because I had tweeted a few things and used his handle, and they were really, really gracious with that, and very, very honored that they did that. I mean, the hits we were getting in the comments on our Facebook and stuff were just fantastic. And, you know, Ben certainly has people that will never forgive him for putting himself in some bad situations. But by and large, this fan base loves this guy. And, you know, he really, one of the questions I asked him was about why do the camp here? So many of the guys go back to their hometowns and they do the camp there. And he says, this is my home. And he said that kind of stuff before, especially during contract negotiations. He said, this is where I want to be. And it really hit me hard. He said, my wife's from here. This is where my kids are born. This is my home. This is where I want to be. And so I really think that you're going to see him around Pittsburgh for the rest of his time here. He just loves it.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, you're right. I mean, his kids were born here. They grew up here. His wife's from here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a guy who you could see him being around Pittsburgh, you know, well after his career is over, you know, doing some type of business venture or, you know, whatever happened the case may be. I mean, he's always going to be a celebrity, you know, to a Steeler fan. So yeah, that's awesome, dude. And it must have been just like an amazing, amazing experience.
It was. And he looks fantastic. I'm guessing he's dropped maybe 15 or 20 pounds since last season. Looks real good. You know, I was about eye to eye to him. He and I are about the same height. He might have me by maybe half an inch. But you could clearly see the difference, though, because when we shook hands and we both gave each other a good, firm, manly grip, his hand pretty much made mine disappear. So that's when I realized that there was a clear difference here, besides the 10 years
you think?
Of age. But holy crap. I mean, I and of course, I get on the phone with my son and he says, are you ever going to wash that hand? said maybe not tonight. Yeah, so no, good stuff. Good stuff.
Indeed, good stuff. Yeah, so I think we'll start to wrap this up. Special thanks, obviously, to our good friend and sponsor, Body Tech, Jim. North Hills, Pittsburgh, been with us for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, 2 years now? Couple of years. In fact, I had intended to try to get in there and say hello to him, but we had some communication lapses, and it didn't work out. But, Body Tech is great. They have been so supportive of the podcast and the website in general. And so if you are in that area, in the North Hills and are looking for that place to work out, it is the place to go. That's what I've been told, and that's what I'm going to tell you.
Excellent, excellent. So that should about wrap up this edition of the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast. You got anything else, man?
I don't. Well, obviously training camp coming up. The players report on the 29th, so as soon as things start happening there, we'll start getting some stuff out. We're not going to treat, you know, we won't be tweeting like, who's wearing, you know, suede shoes or anything like that. But we'll definitely be telling you what's going on at practice and who's doing what and who's not. So, yeah, training camp right around the corner.
Excellent, excellent. And with that, we will wrap this up. So definitely stay tuned. Check out SteelCityBlitz.com. Mark and I will be doing the Rabble live game broadcasts again this season. I don't know if we'll do the preseason ones. Maybe, if there's a nationally televised one, we'll probably do that. But then we'll hop into it on the regular weekend broadcast to do the show over there on Rabble.tv. Our good friends over there will hook us up again, so we'll have a blast. So kind of put that on your calendar and join us during game day because we have a good time. But other than that, we will wrap this up. So thanks, everybody, for listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech Gym, North Hills, Pittsburgh.
Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the Contact Us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.